start playing football, and like, did you play any other sports growing up?
I mean, growing up, so like football was just something that my family, you know, was that did. It was just what they did. Like, my mom was always the, you know, cheerleading coach for, you know, our football teams in Ken, because that's where I grew up. And I grew up with my cousins mostly, and both of them played football. My dad played football. I never really had a relationship with him, but I feel like it was just something that was part of my family and part of what we were. And my mom was actually a cheerleader for the Patriots too, so she's always just had this love for the game. And you know, it's just, I mean, it's just been something that's a big part of our life and a big part of our family culture.
That's awesome.
Growing up, I played everything, like soccer, baseball, basketball. I played like pretty competitively for a while, until I just like stopped growing, which was, you know, like sixth, seventh grade or whatever. Like, everyone just started shooting up, and I mean, I was still playing, but I stopped after my freshman year at Tulane.
Mike
And
was
you?
good at basketball, by the way.
I mean, I was pretty good. I just, it's hard to be a big man at 6'2". Like,
Yeah,
you know,
I
like
get.
guys get up to 6'8", 6'9" in high school. So, I mean, it could be tough being in the paint at 6'2", but I could bang in there a little bit.
Didn't you play for BABC?
Yeah, I played for them for a little bit, and I mean, that was cool. Like, I played for Bay State Magic. We were really competitive. Spent a lot of time traveling for AAU. Made a lot of good friends through that, and some guys that I still talk to today, and you know, they're all doing like really, you know, great things. Some of them, you know, went to play college basketball. Like, one of the guys is, you know, Wayne Selden. He ended up playing in the NBA. And Nerlens Noel, like, those guys were all, you know, big time prospects and NBA players. And you know, they, you know, kind of got the luck of the draw and grew a few more inches than me, but it's all good.
Right. Do you feel like that background of you playing the multiple sports really helped you as a football player too?
I think so. I think the biggest thing for me was just the competitive nature of it. Just you know, not being the most naturally gifted basketball player, but learning how to adapt and how to you know, just compete. And I think that's the biggest thing, and that's where you get the biggest competition level. Like, you're growing up in Massachusetts, like, your football level is not going to be the highest, but if you're competing in other sports like basketball, lacrosse, or hockey, you know, you get to see what it's like to really have to work for it and not just have it given to you. Because I think that's the biggest thing is, you know, if it's just easy for them, you know, in high school, and then maybe they think that they don't have to work as hard. But if you can see, you know, where that work has to come from, and see that, like, if you're not as good at something, like, you have to work on it to get better. I think that's a big big thing that a lot of athletes need to realize and do.
Yeah, absolutely. Especially because I feel like now some athletes, they think that, you know, they have to specialize in one sport, which I don't think that's the way to go.
Yeah, no, I mean, I've never been a fan of it. At least, even if you're, you know, playing football, I think in the off season you should at least run track, or especially if you're like a skill guy, just learning your running form, that's one thing. I think if I could go back and, you know, do something over, I think I would have, you know, tried to, you know, get a better running form, better posture with running, and, you know, opening your hips and all that kind of stuff. I feel like, you know, comes from track and comes from like a track background. So I feel like, you know, one of those things that I wish I could have done, you know, earlier on would be, you know, just working on that running form and just doing track and things like that.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I didn't start running track until my junior year, but like, after when I started running track my junior year, it really helped me with things like opening up my stride and, like you said, opening up my hips and stuff. Coach
Yeah.
Penza got me right.
The gold, what do they call him? The golden bullet or
Golden
something?
bullet.
Yeah.
Our track coach, who was also our freshman football coach, he how tall is he, Mo? Like, 5'4"?
Yeah, oh yeah, he's like
Like, he
5'4", but
he's
he
like
was a
five.
baller at Severian. He's like a
Yeah,
Severian legend.
he's this
Yeah.
nasty at football and track. Ran track at BC, like all types of records at Xaverian. I think he had a couple. I think he had a couple records at BC too. But yeah, absolute legend.
That's awesome.
So what made you go to Xaverian in the first place?
So for me, it was one of those things where I just knew that Canton football wasn't very good, and I was kind of on the fence. Because my house is on the line of Canton and Stoughton. I live on 138, like sort of near like Stop and Shop. So like my house is like right on the border. So I was thinking about going to Stoughton High, and I ended up applying to Xaverian, and you know, money was really tight. So my mom was kind of like, I mean, you can do it, but you know, I don't think you'll be able to go. And then I ended up applying and you know, got into the school. And we just found a way to kind of make it work. And, you know, we were waiting on scholarships and stuff to figure out if I could go. And, you know, we ended up getting them. And, yeah, I mean, like, obviously I had to do, like, work study and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And, I mean, it was just was, you know, kind of lucky to, you know, get in. And the thing was for me just having a little bit of hope because I knew, you know, no one had gone to the NFL from Ken High or, you know, Stoughton High or anything like that. But you know, I just remember knowing about Xaverian, knowing like Matt Hasselbeck and some of the guys that they had sent to, you know, Boston College and stuff like that. And I just remember like just wanting to have the opportunity to, you know, go play at a Division I school, whether it was, you know, UNH or UMass or, you know, a big school. But I mean, at first I didn't really have my sights set on going to like a really big school. I was just, you know, kind of hoping just for like the opportunity to go to UNH or, you know, UMass or one of those schools. So when, you know, that stuff started rolling, I started getting a bunch of offers, you know, it was really exciting just to see, especially being from that area.
Right. Yeah, exactly. So when did you realize that you were going to go to a bigger school rather than like a UNH or UMass? Was it after your junior year?
It was actually after I played CM. We had played them in Brent Williams, he was a big guy for like our AAU and like really good mentor. And he does a lot of stuff with like youth football and things like that now. At the time, he wasn't doing much, but he was kind of the guy for, you know, the East Coast as far as having a connection to like camps and being able to get guys in the camps and coaching and stuff like that. So he was, you know, a big guy for me. He was watched my film after my junior year, like my first couple games, and he was like, yeah, you're gonna have 20 plus offers by, you know, the end of the year, end of the season. And at that point I was like, wow, like I didn't have anything at the time. I just remember you know, sending all the coaches my links to my huddle and sending them like, hey, this is my first three games, blah blah blah, this is my first three games. And I just remember, I mean, like I'd probably sent, you know, 100 different links to coaches, and I mean I probably got like two replies back from, you know, different schools. So I mean it took a while to get going, but I mean the thing for me also was the year before I had I actually fractured like my back a little bit, like so I had to wear a back brace for, you know, most of my junior season. And yeah, I mean it just was, you know, nice to get those offers and stuff like that, especially after having to sit out my sophomore season.
Yeah, exactly. Did you sit out the whole sophomore year?
So I played the first three games of my sophomore season. I started the first three games, and then I sat out the rest of the season.
Mm-hmm. Okay, got it. What about maybe going back, what advice would you give yourself, or what advice would you give to high school kids right now who are going through the recruiting process?
I mean, I would just say to really just work really hard and just get in like the best shape possible so that you can play at a high level. And I would just say play hard all the time, and I feel like the coaches, you know, will find you. I mean, like the camps and stuff were really good, but I mean, like I only went to two camps when I was getting recruited. I went to one like Southeast Stars or something in Connecticut, and then I went to like BC camp and UConn camp. I think like the school camps are pretty good, just because you get to see where you're at in comparison to some of the other guys. And, you know, they always give like guys like special treatment when they're there. Like some guys will, you know, be put in a different group to right. really look at and evaluate. And you can kind of see like they'll bump you up if they're like, oh, wow, this guy really jumps off on paper. And I think that's just like a good like evaluator of where you're at. But all in all, I would say just to work and just like hit the weight room hard and hit, you know, your core and hit all, you know, your running and all that stuff and flexibility and just try to be in the best shape of your life, you know, come football season.
Yeah, absolutely.
So what made you choose Michigan? Because before he came on, Mike showed me some of your offers like through ESPN. What did Michigan have that the other schools didn't?
I think it was the history of the school and just how good of a school it was. You know, coming from Severian, you know, I really liked the balance between, you know, sports and, you know, academics. And, you know, once I got to Michigan, it felt, you know, sort of like an extension. And just like the great history and just all the great players and just like the alumni base and the attitude towards Michigan was such a prestigious you know, feeling like if you say like you go to the University of Michigan, like someone always knows someone from the University of Michigan or knows about the University of Michigan. And, you know, it's really cool, really respectful. There's a lot of smart people that have come from the University of Michigan. And, you know, it's not something that you can say about every single school that's, you know, good at football. So being able to go there, I think it was at the time, it was my best, you know, football school. Like I had like Michigan State and stuff like that, but I think all in all, it was like one of the best football schools and they happen to have really good academics. So for me, it was between there and like UVA and Boston College and Michigan State. So I had all of those guys kind of, you know, lined up and, you know, Michigan ended up being the one for me.
Yeah, for sure. What about when, once you got to Michigan, was there kind of like an initial shock, like, from just being at college or just kind of being around college football?
Oh, yeah. I mean, right when you get on campus, the workouts, you know, that's the first thing you're doing. And I mean, me and all my friends, I mean, we were dead. Like, I couldn't even make it through a workout when I got there.
Yeah.
You know, certain things weren't strong enough in my hamstrings and my hips and stuff. And just doing, like, those hamstring curls and things like that, like, you know, were super hard for me. I couldn't, you know, I couldn't do it. But, you know, just to not get deterred and you know, just doubting yourself, you know, you just keep working and then you get to the point where you can do all that stuff. But I mean, initially I was worried. I was like, well, like, I can't keep up with a lot of these guys. And, you know, it all changes when the pads come on and you realize that the guys that are in the weight room and are the strongest and, you know, best at working out aren't always the best on the field. So, you know, it just, right. You know, it just like put in perspective that at the end of the day, like, you're playing football. So like, I mean, like, you may not be the best in the weight room anymore, like, you know, I was at Severian, but I still can play football just as well as anyone.
Yeah, exactly. And I think a lot of younger guys really lose perspective in that, where obviously you want to try to be the strongest you can be in the weight room, but that's not, at the end of the day, that's not where plays are made, right?
Yeah, no.
Yeah.
So, you know, after your freshman year, that's when Jim Harbaugh was hired, right?
Yeah, it was, after my freshman year.
All right, so that's a huge personality. Can you tell me what it was like when he was hired? And then, after, it's kind of a two-part question. Can you tell me a Jim Harbaugh story, you know, like one of those fun ones?
Yeah, I mean, definitely. So when he was hired, you know, it was really exciting for me just having an NFL coach come in and, you know, a guy that had been to the Super Bowl and put a lot of guys into the league and bringing in a staff of, you know, guys that were really respectable. And he made it all football. So it was like we'd have 4-hour spring ball practices and just like trying to get better at football, you know, any way possible just by playing the game. And you know, he had a big passion for the game and, you know, put in a lot of NFL type, you know, schemes and things like that. So I think it really helped. understanding concepts and understanding, you know, what type of run game you're going to get in the next level. So, I mean, that was really good. And then just Harbaugh's story. I mean, so right when he got there, one of our running backs, Chris Evans, he was running a wheel route. Whatever. This is like probably the first week of our pad on. He runs a wheel route. He's like, no, I don't want it that way. So then, like, Cappy's on. He wears his cleats when he goes to practice. So he lines up, and he starts to run a wheel route. And you just see him get shot in the back of the leg. And he pulled it. He, like, tore his hammy, like, really, really bad. And he, like, tried to, like, play it off. And he was just, like, walking around, like, limping. And for the rest of the season, he had to wear, like, the compression shorts and, like, wouldn't get treatment on it. So it just got worse. And I think his hamstring's still, like, messed up to this day just from trying to run a wheel route, like, full speed. That first week, so I mean, it was messed up and it was all black and blue and everything. But so, I mean, that was my first impression of Harbaugh was, you know, him trying to run that wheel route during practice.
khakis and all.
What made you go back to Michigan for that extra fifth year?
I think for me, a lot of it was talking to my coach, Greg Madison. We talked a lot about legacy. So I had teams that were interested in me coming out, and I think I would have definitely gotten drafted in like the first, you know, three rounds. But he just talked about the legacy of playing, and a lot of our guys had come back. So we had like Chris Wormley, and he could have probably left early, and we had a few other guys that could have left early, but, you know, came back. And he just talked about like Michigan legacy and just like imprinting yourself into the program, because, you know, that's what's going to last forever. So that was a big thing for me, was just like leaving my mark on the University of Michigan. And I hadn't really started at that point. I had been a focal point for the defense, but I really wasn't, you know, deemed, you know, technically a starter. So
right.
I had a lot left that I could do at Michigan, and I knew if I came back, I'd be able to do it. And, you know, getting back and getting, you know, the All-American and getting my face on the wall, you know, that was sort of the goal and, you know, trying to win a championship and trying to, you know, beat Ohio State for the first time. You know, those were all sort of my goals going back and, you know, at least being able to, you know, leave my face on the program and, you know, be one of the few, you know, All-Americans, like, by consensus was, you know, one of the biggest things that, you know, I've done in my career. So I think going back was, I would definitely do it over again, you know, just to, you know, win those awards and, you know, get that prestige and, you know, get the MVP of the team and all of those kind of things.
Right. Yeah. That definitely makes sense that, what you just said, because I mean, even going back to your time at Xavier, you came from a school with a bunch of tradition, and then you chose Michigan in the first place because of the tradition, right? So
yeah,
it makes sense that you wanted to cement your legacy there. So yeah, absolutely.
And that brought you to another level too. That graduate year, you know, that really did bring you to another level. Like looking at your stats and everything, getting more starts and all that. So that really helped you in the long run, I feel like, right?
Yeah, helped me a lot. I mean, I was ready to go. You know, I knew I had one goal in mind going into that season. And the year before, I hadn't really thought about coming out that year. I mean, I had, like, put everything in place to do it. Like, I was graduating, all that stuff. But, I mean, I really wasn't sure about coming out until, you know, I started to get some, you know, attention nationally. And, you know, I'm just talking to, like, coaches and stuff like that.
Yeah, for sure. So when you did leave, you were supposed to be a top selection, obviously, but you couldn't go to the combine for something you couldn't control. So how did you deal with that? Because that's something that's tough, for sure.
Yeah, I mean, it's devastating. I had an experience like that before at Xavier, like I said, I had fractured my back, and I really wasn't sure if I was going to be able to play anymore. So, after, you know, that had happened, it had put it into perspective, just sort of like, what, I mean, you can only really control what you can control. So Just trying to, you know, keep my head up and try to be as positive as possible. Like, yeah, at the time you definitely hit, you know, like a dark place, and it's really tough to, you know, cope with the idea of not being able to play the game, and especially like not by your control. And you definitely get your hopes up. Like, I mean, like I was training for, you know, months to do, you know, the combine stuff before either the shuttle, the broad jump, all that stuff. So to get to the point where, you know, now you're not sure, you know, if you're going to get drafted or when you're going to get drafted, you know, can be extremely stressful, especially in like such a short period of time. And, you know, within that span of the draft. So, I mean, it was definitely, you know, really hard to get through, but I'd say as long as you can make it out of it, like you'll be stronger from, you know, those type of tough times.
For sure.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Once you got drafted to the Raiders and everything, kind of like the question I had for once you got to Michigan, did you have a welcome to the NFL moment, whether it was once you showed up and with all the other NFL talent, or maybe something during the season that you were like, damn, like this is the NFL? Like,
For me, I think I set my sights so high. You know, I thought it was going to be a lot harder than it actually was. But definitely, like, going from preseason and, you know, getting sacks and stuff like that, I was like, oh, this is going to be easy. But I think it was, like, Bruce Irvin or one of those guys. I was like, yeah, the preseason and regular season are a completely different animal. I just remember just going out in the first game, just, like, not everything just moving really fast. And we had played the Rams the first game of the season, so that was my first team. I mean, they were good that year. And what's it called? They were just running the ball, like, left, right. You know, they run a lot of press plays, so that can be really tough for a young defense lineman because the offensive linemen are, you know, running and reaching each other way. So, you know, I mean, if you're sitting back and you're reading, I mean, they're going to reach you and it's going to look bad on film. And if you're, I mean, it's just tough to play those type of teams and play action. Like, I mean, I wasn't ready to read and recognize play action. That's probably one of the toughest games I've ever played in. And we actually had two of our guys go down. So I was just in the game. Like, I didn't have a backup. It was just me. Because in the first quarter, one of our nose tackles had went out. And then the second quarter, one of our other defensive tackles had rolled his ankle. So, I mean, I was just out there and everything was just moving a million miles per hour. So it was definitely a wake-up call for me. That was definitely like my welcome to NFL moment, you know, playing, you know, the team that's going to be in the Super Bowl and just struggling to, you know, understand and read the offenses.
Yeah, especially because McVay, obviously he's an offensive mastermind. Plus that was Goff's, what, like second or third year. So now he was experienced. And then I'll see what they have Whitworth on the offensive line. He's been in the NFL for 30 years. Todd Gurley, who was there. So yeah, that must have been crazy.
Yeah, it was tough.
That was Sunday night too. Like, I remember watching that game actually, and you guys came out like somewhat hot, right? And then
yeah, we came out pretty hot. Then we played the first half really well, and then they came out in the second half and ended up leaving us a little bit.
Yeah, that's definitely a big welcome to NFL type of thing, I feel like.
Yeah.
have you had a favorite teammate on the Raiders?
I've had a bunch of them. I think just our D line in general, like we've been super close, and you know, I mean, that's just the position that you play. I think this year will be even closer. Just being together for a couple of years now, and the young guys are cool. Like, you know, like Max and stuff. He played at Eastern, so you know, we got a lot of common. And,
right.
Klee, you know, is just a really good dude and, you know, great leader. And that was part of the reason why they drafted him. So those guys are, you know, really good dudes and really good players.
Yeah, absolutely.
Exactly. So the first year of John Gruden, like it looked like it was going to be a disaster. Like, I remember, you know, seeing stuff on ESPN and everyone was like, oh my God, like what is this guy doing? But the Raiders now, especially, they seem way ahead of schedule. Like, people, especially last year, thought you guys had no chance of being near the playoffs, and you guys surprised everyone. So what was it like when Khalil Mack and Amari Cooper were traded? Did you think, like, oh, my God, this guy's out of his mind at any point?
Yeah, I mean, I was excited to play with Khalil just because I knew he's, like, a you know, perennial talent, and you know, just to get to learn from them and, you know, be able to you know, run stunts with them and all that stuff. But then we got traded, we were kind of like, damn, like, when you look at the roster, you know, you just kind of know, like, hey, like, our talent is just not there. Like, we don't have the guys to play against, you know, some of these teams. So, and, you know, it's tough when you're in that position where you can kind of see that it's – things are not in your favor as far as talent wise, and you don't have the guys to win. So, I mean, it was really tough that year for me. Just losing so many games in the season kind of felt like it was getting dragged on. You know, and it's not as fun. So it was pretty tough. But – and then once you see, like, Amari and stuff go, you kind of know, like, the coaches don't see it either. Like, they know that, you know, this season's kind of, you know, chalked up, and it's, you know, about getting the younger guys better. So after making the trade, you know, once we hit the draft, everyone was like, oh, wow, like, that's a good trade. And it wasn't until, you know, this past season – you know, once the Bears didn't look very hot and very good, and they're like, well, I mean, I think they won the trade. And you see, like, Josh Jacobs start playing well, and you see Renfrow, and you see Max, your fourth-round pick, playing, you know, lights out, and you see all those guys just, you know, balling. I mean, it's just – it's hard to say that we lost the trade, you know. Like, we got so much talent, and, you know, our first pick didn't even really play, you know, John Abram. So, I mean, like, just to see the progress we've made and the talent that we have in the roster, it's just ridiculous, you know, from top to bottom. And, you know, we're in a good space cap-wise where we were able to bring in, you know, Corey Littleton and Kiwakowski, and brought in some stud linebackers, and brought in, you know, Demaryius Randall, a former first-round pick, and, you know, went to go get, you know, some more receivers. And, yeah, I mean, like, we were able to keep our, you know, one of our best guards, and we just had enough money to do those type of things. And I think we're definitely, you know, one of the top teams in the league right now as far as talent base. And, you know, it's tough because we got to compete with the Chiefs. And, you know, I mean, they're Super Bowl champs. So playing them twice a year, you know, we got to be ready. So, I mean, I think our division and, you know, the NFC West are two of the, you know, best talent-wise, you know, AFC West, NFC West. So, you know, it's a grind, definitely, being in that type of division. You know, they're everyone's trying to, you know, play with the Chiefs. So, yeah.
Yeah. I agree 100%. And Mike knows this about me. I'm a huge John Gruden fan. So when all that was going on, like, I remember being like, oh, my gosh, I just really need this to work out. Like, I hope it works out. Like, he was the most fun announcer. He won a Super Bowl back in the day, too. So – can you tell me some stories about him? Because I think he is, like, one of the funniest people on the planet. And I feel like everything he says, like, always makes me smile if I see it, like, in the media or, like, Hard Knocks. So can you give me a Gruden story?
Oh, man. I mean, I don't really have any good – there's definitely guys that have good Gruden stories. I don't think I really have a good one. I'm trying to think if I could think of any. I can't really think of any off the top of my head. I think, I mean, just hearing him curse out. So we were playing Green Bay in the preseason, and I guess we were playing them in Canada. So there was a different field, and there was a divot in the field. So, like, both the teams, it was us and the Packers. So, like, they both come out and they both, like, analyze the field. And the Packers are like, no, like, we're not going to play on that. Like, there's a div in the end zone. And the refs came back and they were like, yeah, we're going to make it like an 80-yard field. Well, like, you guys are going to play on this. And we're going to change the kickoff. We're going to change the end zone and all that stuff. And I just remember the refs coming by and just Gruden just, like, just tore them apart. Like, probably one of the worst, you know, ass tunes I've ever heard in my life. Just, like, just – everything, like, just, like, coming at them. And I mean, you can see his energy on the sidelines, and you're like, yeah, like, he was red, like, just really bad. And then he came in the locker room and was like, I don't care, like, what's gonna happen, like, we're gonna play him on an 80-yard field, I don't care if it's a, like, 50-yard field, like, we're gonna kick their ass, like, all this stuff. It's just like, I mean, it was just like one of those times where you're just like, yeah, that's screwed. Like, that's just who he is. And he'll even admit, like, he'll be like, yeah, sometimes, you know, Chucky just got to come out. And, you know, he definitely, you know, likes the alter ego.
Yeah, I love that. And, like, I think I saw, like, some of that on Hard Knocks. And, like, it was it annoying having camera crew all over the place with you for that?
A little bit. I mean, I did it at Michigan because we did the All or Nothing at Michigan the year before. So, and that was a whole season. So having them there for 15 days or whatever it was for Hard Knocks wasn't bad. And I mean, most of the cameras were just in the room, like, they just like rotate in the room. Like, they got the little cameras on the top, like security cameras, and they just rotate. So it wasn't bad. Like, I didn't have to do anything for it, really. Like, I did a couple of interviews, but they didn't even end up, you know, like being on it. So, I mean, they kind of picked their guys just based off, you know, roster cuts and guys who, you know, had just gotten there and like have like crazy stories. So, I mean, it really wasn't bad.
What about for All or Nothing? Were they a lot more kind of like all over you? Because like you said, they were.
Oh yeah, they were all over us. Like, I mean, I did hours and hours of stuff, and I probably had like 20 minutes, maybe in an episode, maybe 10 minutes or something like that. Like, I mean, it was everything. Like, they would have us bring home cameras and record personal stuff, and
really,
they would follow us to events, and I mean, they would follow us to games. I mean, they were every game, like every game, every dinner, every meeting. Like the whole season, so mm-hmm. I mean, that was definitely way more intense.
Right. And then they're recording you the Uber driving too.
Yeah.
But how did that work? Did they just like put like a small camera in there?
Yeah, they just used the GoPros. They put a GoPro okay. in the front and GoPro yeah. in the back.
Yeah, I forget that. What about, obviously you're really early in your career right now, but what about life after your playing career? Do you have any plans for it? I know you're obviously you majored in sport management and everything. So do you plan on working something around sports, or do you have anything planned right now?
I'm really big into like finance and stuff like that. Like finance and just like investing and stuff like that. So it's definitely something that, you know, I definitely want to carry on after football. But I mean, I've also thought about, you know, if the opportunity arises of, you know, being like a GM, or also thought about like going the agent route. I think as a GM, I'd be able to do, you know, more numbers and things like that, which, you know, would be fun for me. And just trying to like develop team and develop men. I think that would be, you know, a great thing that I would want to do. So, you know, if that opportunity arises, I think that would definitely be something that I'd be interested in. You know, I get a good sense of people and, you know, team and camaraderie, and, you know, just try to bring in the right coaches to win. So I think that's something that I would definitely be interested in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so definitely staying around football pretty much your whole life.
Yeah, I mean, I think so. I think I really enjoy, you know, the game and enjoy, you know, the people. And That's my biggest thing, is enjoying the people. Like, I don't want to be a coach. I think the hours are, you know, kind of, you know, ridiculous. Of, you know, just like, I mean, the coaches just have it really tough. You know, I just kind of want to – I would rather oversee things. And, you know, that's definitely not an easy job. But I think it would be, you know, something that I would have a lot more fun with.